141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers draw with Standard Liège in a friendly today, but there's no Tavernier, Cantwell or Danilo. Celtic are preparing for tonight's clash with Queen's Park, and Robbie McCrory says it was the right time to leave Ibrox after completing his move to Kilmarnock. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Jim Duffy.
Yeah, you realise that you're getting the approach in the season when the pre-season friendlies are there and we start to discuss who was available, who wasn't available. There's still going to be talk about the transfer speculation. Robbie McCrory, as you mentioned, leaving Rangers and going to Kilmarnock. And obviously the League Cup starts this week as well, Andrew, and it just shows you how quickly the season does approach. The 13th of July, you know, the teams out with the European competition will be kick-starting their season just in a couple of days' time.
Yeah, as you say, not too far away from competitive action at all. Some teams still a bit further away, the teams that are in European competition, but Celtic and Rangers both in action today. Rangers with a game against Standard Liège over in the Netherlands. Celtic closer to home. They're playing against Queen's Park in the City Stadium. Lesser Hamden before they jet off to the US. But despite the fact they're friendly matches, people will be looking on with a keen eye to see who played, who didn't, how did the new signings get on, if there are any new signings, who was involved, who wasn't involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult. We're notorious for instantly judging, you know, clubs and players, even in pre-season. And sadly, there's been one or two managers in the past that have been sacked even after pre-season. But it is about, you know, just getting the, up to speed again, getting the fitness. If it's new players, just getting to know your teammates, getting to know the style and the philosophy of the club that you're joining. Rangers have got some obviously young new players have come in the summer. Celtic, we're still waiting on those players arriving within the Celtic camp. But I think Brendan Rodgers would much prefer them to have available before he goes to the States. I think in the past Celtic have brought in players a little bit later on, and it's much more difficult. You then introduce a lot of young players into pre-season games, but then when the, you know, the major competitions start, you're then trying to rush those players in to your system. Sometimes they're not fully fit, they're not up to speed. Again, as I mentioned, not maybe understanding exactly how the team plays and the manager wants to play. So I think you want to try and get these deals done as quickly as you possibly can. And I'm a bit surprised there hasn't been more significant business done, particularly at Celtic so far.
Well, that's a taste of what Jim Duffy thinks, but we want to hear what you think. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you're a Rangers fan and you've looked at the starting lineup from today's game against Standard Liège, who was in, who was out, and you've got some thoughts on that. Celtic fans, what do you want to see from your team against Queen's Park tonight? Who do you want to see get a run out? Some other stories I've seen doing the rounds as well. Daniel Kelly, the young Celtic midfielder, his contract is up in January. Talk that there's no resolution yet on keeping him longer term and there's clubs interested. Also, suggestions that Rangers had scouts watching Motherwell's Lennon Miller at the weekend as well. So maybe you've got some thoughts on that. 0141 951 1025. Kilmarnock fans, you've got yourself a new goalkeeper as well. We'll be hearing from Robbie McCrory after he completed his move from Kilmarnock to Rangers. So any thoughts, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Let's start with a game that has already happened. Celtic, of course, play later on. Rangers played today. As you say, there's only so much you can really look into pre-season friendlies and who played. There was a sort of different, as quite often happens, a different starting 11 minutes, for the first half and the second half. It was, I think, probably quite a familiar looking lineup for the first half for Rangers. Butland, it was in Leon King at right back, John Souter, Ben Davies, Ridvan Yilmaz, Mohamed Diamande, Conor Barron getting his first start in there, Ross McCausland, Tom Lawrence, Oscar Cortez and Cyril Dessers. In the second half, Butland continued in goal, but it was Balogun, Goldson, Enciala, Jeffty, McKinnon, Raskin, Wright, Dowell, Fraser and young Finlay Curtis, who I don't think's made a top team appearance yet. That is quite interesting to see who played, but people may be more interested in the ones that didn't play. I think in the case of James Tavernier, in the case of Danilo, Dujon Sterling, I think they were maybe injuries. No, Todd Cantwell didn't feature at all, which is an interesting one. He's had an up and down relationship with Philippe Clement in his time. and you wonder what the future holds for him if he's a player that didn't get any game time in this match.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because if he is still part of the plans that, and he's fit, you need to get him some game time, you know, whether it be, as you said, at 45 minutes like some of the players. But to not be involved at all would suggest one of two things. He either is carrying an injury and they didn't want to risk him at all, or you know, that there's a you know, suggestion that he could be moving out and you know, one or two clubs would be interested in him. So that would be the other suggestion. But again, these are only rumours and speculations. I think it's unfair to say that would be the case. It may well have been, as I say, just an injury precaution. And like any pre-season, you don't really take risks. I think the likes of Tavernier and these other guys, if they're feeling like even just tight muscles, why would you risk them? You know the level they can get to. You know what to expect. It's not an unfamiliar player or a new player that you really want to see playing for you. You know exactly what you can get from these guys. Todd Cantwell, as you mentioned, Andrew, I said that one or two, you know, little debates, should we say, with the manager, and you know, obviously substitution, and we know that. But by and large, he was still a major part of Rangers' team under Philip Clement. So I don't see that being an issue. I just think it might be a case of other clubs might be interested, and to generate some income and free some space up for the new players, that might be something that might need to happen.
Yeah, in the case of some of the players that didn't play seemingly because of injuries, James Tavernier, Danilo, Dujon Sterling, I think young Zach Lovelace as well has been a long-term, you know, injury problem as well. Rangers fans will be hoping that those aren't long-term injuries and aren't a sign of things to come this season, because Philip Clement was sick to the back teeth of talking about injuries every single time he held a press conference. It was pretty much the main thing that was being talked about. So he'll be hoping, and Rangers fans will be hoping, that injuries aren't going to define their season going forward.
Yeah, but I think he made it clear he was going to revamp the medical side at Rangers, and, you know, and he was going to look at that aspect of it, because he felt there was a lot of injuries that he felt could have been you know, dealt with, and maybe could have been dealt with better. I don't think it's criticism of the medical staff. I think it's just a different approach to it, and maybe just to see, to try and avoid, if you want to call it, muscle injuries, ones that he felt were avoidable, weren't impact injuries. Danilo, for instance, was an impact injury, we know that. So therefore, there's nothing you can do about that. But a lot of the other injuries, whether it be strains or muscle injuries, I think the manager felt that, whether it be the training regime, you know, the fitness aspect, you know, the preparation, the sports science, all these sort of things had to be reviewed. He's obviously reviewed it, so he now wants, you know, less injuries and less time spent on the treatment table, because there were quite a significant amount of injuries last year for many of the players you would consider to be first team players.
It's still relatively early in pre-season for the likes of Celtic and Rangers, so you'd think the main aim for Brendan Rodgers, Philip Clement, and these games they've got today is just getting the minutes in the legs of the players. Is it even really about, you know, shape and tactics at this point? Is it less about that and more about just getting the players up to match fitness?
Yeah, not for these teams. It's not about shape and in aspects of, you know, planning for the season ahead. It's just minutes. It's just getting that timing again, getting the up to the speed of the game. The work, obviously, as we said, with the sports scientists, so they'll be dictating, you know, how much of the fitness and how many minutes they get to the managers. You know, they'll be saying, looking at each player individually, what that player requires. Does that player need an hour? Does he need 80 minutes? Does he need 45 minutes, etc.? So they will be giving all that information to the manager. The manager will be taking that on board and looking at it. As they get closer to the season, of course, then that preparation has to change to more tactical and more game-related patterns of play, how you really want to line up as the season gets underway. But the clubs have got, it's about timing. Their athletes are trying to peak at the right times. You don't want to peak right at the very start of the season. You want to be strong at the start of the season, but as the season unfolds, and we saw that last year with Celtic after the turn of the year, they got stronger. They seem to get fitter. They seem to hit their peak at the right time. That's the test for Rangers this year, because it worked almost in reverse for Rangers last year.
Well, what do you think? 01419511025 is the number you need. Bill is a Celtic fan up first in Jordan Hill. Bill, what are you thinking tonight?
I'm thinking that the slowness of Celtic in trying to bring in players. We've had 2 months since the end of the last season. certain positions in the team, we've been knowing that there's been someone required, either as a first choice or as a backup. Particularly, I'm thinking of people like Greg Taylor. We've been waiting about 18 months in a left back to come in. Tony Docherty at Dundee seems to be able to pluck players out of the air without any bother. Okay, we're maybe not looking at the same level of player, but he's able to pick players out. And in my, as far as I can work out, I think Peter Lawwell has still got his hands on the tiller. He's reluctant to release money, and I think that's part and parcel of the problem. If Celtic are genuinely interested in players, you sit down with someone and you thrash out a deal. It doesn't take weeks or months or whatever to thrash out a deal. If you're really, really interested in a person, you go out there and you get them.
I wouldn't guess to know whether Peter Lawl or anyone else at Celtic is withholding money from being spent. Mm-hmm. But Brendan Rodgers is certainly hoping that he's going to be backed in this window. Mm-hmm. Bill is one of a few Celtic fans we've had on the phones in the last couple of weeks that are maybe a bit concerned about the speed of the business that's happening at Celtic. This just seems to be the way that, Celtic have done things. It maybe changed a bit under Ange Postecoglou. Mm-hmm. We saw a few windows where he managed to get players in the door quickly, mm-hmm. but is this maybe reverting back to type slightly, where Celtic are just taking their time over things? And speaking last week, Brendan Rodgers didn't seem too concerned, but supporters, some of them, seem concerned.
Yeah, well, I think Bill saying it doesn't take weeks or months. Well, it does, actually, in many cases, take a considerable amount of time, a lot longer than I think people think. It's not as straightforward. You know, there are so many aspects, so many people involved, you know, to when you're trying to get a deal over. And obviously, you have a budget and, you know, the financial aspect. If, for instance, if you take Bernardo, for talking sake, and there's a lot of talk about that, but if you believe he's worth a certain amount of money, then you've got to negotiate to get to that certain amount of money. You're not going to go in there and offer straight away, you know, money that you believe the player's not worth. So there is to and fro. I do agree with Bill, though, that I'm surprised that Celtic haven't done business yet, particularly with the likes of Bernardo, something like that. But the reason Brendan Rodgers is not too, you know, concerned at this moment is because all of the players he had last year that he wanted, other than the loan players like Ida and Bernardo, but all the players that were signed are still there, particularly Matt Riley, which a lot of people thought he's gone to. So they are still there. All the key players are still there. So therefore, he does have a strong squad. But it's not about backup players. And you know, he mentioned the likes of Tony Docherty. There's many other clubs. Buying players for Celtic's a whole different ballgame. You know, you've got players who had to be good enough to compete with Callum McGregor, good enough to compete with Carter Vickers, with Kyogo, etc. So you need top players, cost money. You need to be able to compete for a title for every tournament you play in, to try and improve the team in Europe. So the standard has to be a lot higher. The pool of players then becomes much smaller. So it is more difficult, but I do agree with Bill on that. The one aspect is that I'm a bit surprised there hasn't been at least one or two signings, but I don't think Celtic need any more backup players. They've got plenty of backup players. They need players who can compete and can keep the standard every bit as high when the likes of Carter Vickers last year was injured, when the likes of Callum McGregor was injured. When those kind of key players are missing, Celtic standards dropped a little bit because the players that replaced them weren't of the same level. They need to get players of the same level. It is difficult, but Celtic can certainly afford it. There's no doubt about that.
Is that how you view it, Bill? A lot of the players that have maybe been brought in by Celtic in the last few windows have been seen or perceived as project players, younger players that have maybe been smaller fees, that the hope is that they'll be brought in, eased into the team and hopefully turn into players that will really impact the first team. Do you feel there needs to be a different approach this time round? There needs to be, you know, whether it's more money, more wages spent on players of proven quality.
I think we've got project players. And the project players have been brought in over the last two windows. Not all of them have been up to scratch. Some of them will need to be sold or moved on. But I think where Celtic are after players, and specific players that they're keen on getting, you spend a certain amount of time trying to get these players. Otherwise, you maybe lose another target, maybe your second person, because it's taken you so long to try and land your first one that the second one is maybe moved on by then.
Just how
I think you need to have a certain time limit on trying to persuade someone to join you. you know, and if the club at the other end are not prepared to play ball with you, then you've got to move on to another target. You've got to have more than one option. You can't look at one goalkeeper and throw everything against that one goalkeeper, like this chap Jensen now that seems to be top of the list. If we're not going to get him, there are plenty of goalkeepers out there who are good quality goalkeepers. I had a list of about eight of them. One guy was Kovacevic, who plays for a team in Częstochowa in Poland. He had 97 shutouts in 200 games.
There we go. We should get Bill on the recruitment team at some of the clubs in the Scottish Premiership. He's certainly got an eye on a few players. But just how tough is that juggling act, Jim? Because Bill's talking about it and saying, you know, there becomes a certain point where you just need to move on from a target and you'll have a list of targets that you'll look at and it's, you know, tough to, I suppose, keep tabs on who's interested in who and how far along the line other people are in identifying the targets you're looking at as well. Can it be a real tough juggling act?
Yeah, of course it can. And also, you know, when you're targeting good players, other clubs are targeting good players, maybe the same player. So sometimes you're in the competition with, you know, three or four, not just, you know, British clubs, but European clubs, worldwide clubs at times, you know. So it's not quite as simple as saying, right, we'll offer a certain amount of money. I do, again, understand Bill's thoughts about having a timescale. Yeah, they will have a timescale. And, you know, they will have other options. You do have your number one option, and then you'll have maybe three or four, possibly more at times, you know, further down the line. But you've got to try as much as you can to get your number one, because that's the guy that you think is the best option available for you. So you try everything in your power to get that. If you've tried everything and it fails at the last second, then fair enough, move on. But Celtic done it with the manager situation a couple of years ago. They, you know, every Celtic fan thought they, you know, they waited and waited and waited for Eddie Howe. But it ended up Eddie Howe decided, no, I'm not going to go. They then go and get Ange Postecoglou, and it ended up like he was a revelation. He was a phenomenal piece of business from Celtic's perspective, you know, and the style of football and, you know, the connection with the fans was just extraordinary. But that came from left field. No one thought that could happen. So it can happen with players as well. You target someone, it doesn't quite work out. The next guy you get in can sometimes actually be a bigger success. It's happened in the past. It's happened with the likes of Maravchuk and all these kind of guys back in the day where they came from nowhere and all of a sudden, wow, where did he come from? He's a player. So I'm sure Celtic have got plenty of options and I'm sure that they will get business done. But like all supporters, you get a bit impatient as the you know, you get into July because you realise the season's not too far away.
Celtic's pursuit of Adam Ida is quite a public one now. Everyone knows that Celtic are after him. Celtic have submitted a bid. It then becomes interesting at what point does Celtic either just bite the bullet and say, you know, yes, we're paying the money that you're demanding, or turn around and say, well, no, we're not willing to pay the money. We've seen him up close. We don't think he's worth X amount, and moving on to that next target.
Yeah, I think you've got to do that. You've got to take the risk that fans will complain and, you know, and be frustrated if Celtic don't believe that Adam Ida's worth 8 million and that's what Norwich want, and you say, no, 5's our maximum. We think we've had him in the door. We think at the moment that's where his value is. Then you've got to stick to your value. You know, you can't just decide that because, you know, you would get a bit of criticism to throw another 3 or 4 million at it if you don't believe he's worth it. Adam Ida is a slightly different one because a new manager walked into Norwich and he's already made a comment saying he wants to look at everyone, give everyone. And the English leagues start a little bit later. They start back pre-season normally a little bit later. So that can be, but from Celtic's perspective, can they afford to wait? Can they wait? Because the manager might turn around and say, oh, yeah, is the Bill saying, no, we actually want to keep him. I quite like him. I quite like the look of him. So I'm going to keep him here. And then Celtic would then have to go and then chase another target. So, yeah, there will be a cut-off point. I've got no doubt that will be within a very short period of time. But I believe that Brendan Rodgers would be absolutely determined, and I think he would be really, you know, making his case really strongly to the board that he would like a couple of top players in by the time they go to the States.
Well, thank you to Bill. Celtic fans, maybe you've got something to add to Bill's thoughts. Give us a call. Rangers fans, what do you make of that result against Standard Liège earlier? Who played in that 0-0 draw? Who didn't play as well might be of more interest. Talk of Rangers' interest in Lennon Miller. Celtic fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on the fact that Daniel Kelly's contract looks to be running down at the end of this calendar year, and there's other clubs interested, and of course Robbie McCrory joining Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock fans, we want to hear from you on that as well. 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert and the time it takes to play a match. 145 people will have asked them for advice with their finances. Their free debt advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. Of course, we're talking about pre-season friendlies earlier on. You always think of pre-season friendlies with the sun shining and whatever else. Aberdeen against Peterhead had to be postponed today because of the weather.
Yeah, I mean, it's Scotland and it is ridiculous. And I have to be honest, Andrew, there's been a few games that, you know, I was involved in over the many years pre-season. And, you know, I can remember as well a game we played. I was at Dundee and, you know, we had to abandon the game because the weather pitch was getting flooded. Just that much rain, just like a complete downpour. So, yeah, it's you know, you always think, yeah, short sleeves, boys coming out back in the summer, and everyone just been a bit more relaxed, but not invariably the rain jackets are still on.
Yeah, I'm sure in a few months' time when there's games getting postponed, we'll have the old summer football argument coming out as well, but then we can look back to Aberdeen against yeah. Peterhead not even going ahead because of the rain in the surrounding areas. But yes, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Peter is in Edinburgh, he's up next. Peter, what have you got for us tonight?
Yeah, hi, good evening, I trust you're all well. Just a quickie, the thing I'm surprised at is that you're surprised that Celtic aren't singing oven-ready Champions League players. The issue is not Celtic. The issue is the league that they play in. It's a very poor league. And if I was an 8 or a 9 or £10 million player, why would I even come to Celtic? Celtic's record in Europe is poor. Rangers have got the worst ever record in the Champions League. You're going to have to unearth gems, which you're not going to get that level, because these guys, they go to the Championship and treble the wages versus what they're getting at Celtic and Rangers. And as you well know, finances come into it when you're a football player. It's a really difficult market, mainly because of the league they're in. Nothing more.
How tough is that battle for trying to recruit players? Mm-hmm. Because, yes, it's easy. You can look down south and see that the money is there. Yeah. Celtic and Rangers, do they need to kind of go down an alternative route when they're competing with English teams and essentially say, look, this is what we can offer you? It's 50,000 or 60,000 fans at home every week. It's European football. It's, you know, all these types of things, rather than, you know, the money that you can get in even the Championship down south at times.
Yeah, Peter's got a point in terms of, you know, the comparable leagues, you know, the standard, the profile, you know, the stature, all these kind of things, and the reputations that you gain if you're playing in England. But, you know, there's a lot of bang ordinary overrated players down south as well, earning huge sums of money. But in Scotland, it is harder to attract them. There's no doubt we say that. I don't think anyone disguises the fact that, you know, the Scottish League is not one of the strongest leagues in Europe. So therefore, it is a harder attraction. So the clubs have to focus on themselves. So if we're talking in Celtic's case, this particular case, they have to focus on 60,000 people at Celtic Park. Yes, European football, yeah, maybe the results haven't been great, but they are in the Champions League. You know, they could, if they're not in the Champions League, they'll be maybe hopefully in the Europa League. So therefore, you know, there is European football there. There is a platform to go and play at a very, very good level with a magnificent football club. And, you know, you whether it's, you know, players or managers in the past, they have used it to give themselves an opportunity to perhaps go and play in the English Premiership if that is their ultimate ambition. But sometimes you have to make a step, and that step could be Celtic. But provided they're good enough to keep the standard high or even raise the standard, then that's fine. It's as if it's when, you know, that some people would suggest that players would come who are not good enough. And I think that's the difficulty. I do agree, yeah, salary-wise, you know, you do have a limited budget. You can't go out and spend ridiculous sums of money as they do down south. But there's still, if you look at, you know, the way Celtic have done their business, yeah, there's been, in maybe in the last 18 months, maybe not quite as many, but if they did decide to sell someone like Matt O'Reilly, it shows you that opportunity, can still be there for players if that's what they decide. I mean, there's plenty of. I mean, we can give umpteen options, so we'll give everyone to Peter. But the opportunities are there, Peter. If you come to Scottish football, you know there are still very, very competitive games. Yeah, it's not the same spotlight, but you know we're looking at a European Championship just now, and not always are you know the ones that are paid the highest, the most entertaining. So I think yeah, we'd not get the best league in terms of spotlight, but I think it's a lot more entertaining than people would you know would maybe suggest.
Can I come back on that just for 1 minute?
Yep. Sure, Peter.
I think what you're saying, Jim, is absolutely bang on. The lure of European football or Champions League qualifiers, yeah, that might be exciting for some people, but then you're going to get humiliated, which happened to Rangers, which has happened to Celtic. I think that your Matt O'Reillys are like, they're outliers. It doesn't happen that often. What you're trying to find, and you're shopping in the market, you're hoping to find that because an exceptionally good football player at £10-12 million, the last time Celtic did that was it Edward? Ever paid £9 million for him? Mm. That doesn't happen that often because there's no guarantee of success. Their market is in your Matt O'Reilly's market because these guys, if they're that good, will not be coming to Scotland. I'm afraid that's the case.
But in Europe, I mean, Peter's talking about it as if, you know, Scottish teams get humiliated in Europe every single time. We saw Rangers made that run to the Europa League final. Celtic, over the years, have competed well against some of the top teams, maybe not so much in recent years, but have had some big results. And Peter was mentioning, you know, Champions League qualifiers. Celtic are straight into the Champions League and have 8 games now in this new format, not only 6 games. So you'd think that lure, Peter, you know, playing against these top teams, you've got 4 away games at potentially, you know, 4 big grounds as well. Is that, do you not see that lure as being enough rather than a player going down to the Championship and playing 46 games against, you know, English Championship sides?
His career and how good he is. Because I think if we think the Scottish League, for whatever we think of it, is compared to the Championship. If you go down to the Championship and prove yourself, then you go to the Prem. But whilst you're in the Championship, you get 4 or 5 times the value of salary that you're going to get up here. It's a basic economics.
Yeah, no, I think you're right in terms of the economics down south. We know that. I mean, obviously the population's 10 times for a start, you know, so therefore, you know, there's going to be a huge disparity between, you know, the income coming into the clubs down there and up here, but not Celtic and Rangers in particular. Yeah, we know that they're you know, the size of the clubs are huge. You know, the fan base is global. You know, there are attractions there, and not every player then thinks, oh, well, listen, I'll go and play for a Championship club and rather than go to Celtic or Rangers. They still are big attractions. And I think also when players have came here and managers have came as well, as I say, then they go back down south, whether it's Brendan Rodgers initially or Ange Postecoglou recently, whether it's like Jack Butland coming up, which like Joe Hart last year, who, you know, absolutely embraced Celtic and played for, you know, arguably one of the biggest clubs in world football in terms of finance, Manchester City. So when they go back, they're telling people, listen, this is a huge club. This is a fantastic club to be part of. And these things do help. Other players do listen to other players. So the likes of Joe Hart waxing lyrical about Celtic and really emotional about how big the club was and how welcome he felt. That is important. In amongst the finance, we know the crying that, you know, finance is important, but in amongst that, you want to go to a club with ambition, you know, with excitement, you know, with a style, and so therefore there are different attractions other than just your bank balance.
So what is the alternative, Peter? Is it a case of Celtic and Rangers just having to accept where they are in the food chain rather than, you know, striving to get the best players in the door that they possibly can?
No, I don't think that's fair. I'm all for Celtic and Rangers and every club in Scotland striving as best they can to be ambitious about what it is they want to achieve. But I just think there should be a healthy dose of realism about the market they shop in. Because, for example, you mentioned Joe Hart. If Joe Hart was playing for Man City at the height of his career, do you think he'd come to Celtic?
But I don't think anyone is saying that players from Manchester City are going to come to Celtic or Rangers. The players that Celtic are being touted as signing are the likes of Adam Ida, who was at Norwich, Paulo Bernardo, who couldn't get a game for Benfica. But these are the players that have come in the case of Adam Ida, certainly proved himself at Celtic and will have to go and pay the fees for.
you must understand, I want nothing but ambition for Scottish football and all our teams. I'm just saying there has to be a healthy dose of realism that Celtic ain't going to go out and buy a brand new, ready to go and the Champions League player that's played in the Champions League. That's not going to happen.
I don't think that's what we're saying, Peter. What we're saying is they have to compete with the current crop of players that Celtic have. That was my argument. My argument is, if Callum McGregor is out the Celtic team, do you have a player of a similar quality, or can add something different but of a real standard that doesn't weaken the team? I feel when somebody like Callum is out the team, Celtic are weaker. When Carter Vickers is out the team, Celtic are weaker. When Alistair Johnson's out the team, Celtic are weaker. So there are areas where I think you can match those players, not top Champions League players, but better than the squad players that they have. That's the point I'm trying to make, and I think that is definitely feasible and affordable.
Jim, see if we can achieve that as a Celtic fan. I'm the happiest man on the planet, believe me. And yeah, I think you're right. And good luck in this close season for everybody trying to achieve it. It's just like a wee dose of realism about which market we're shopping in.
Well, there we go. Thank you very much to Peter. You can get involved on 01419511025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on this as well, because we're going to hear from Robbie McCrory, who's completed his move from Kilmarnock to Rangers today. He's been speaking to Sky Sports. He says it's the right time to leave Rangers in this window. He felt there were times where he was close to breaking into the first team, but now needs to play regular football.
From a football perspective, I wouldn't say it was difficult, given there's frustration the last couple of years. On the emotional side, I've been there since I was 8 years old, 18 years. So you obviously build good relationships with people over the time. The hardest bit's saying bye to them. But I was desperate for this to happen, so I'm glad it's done now. I'm looking forward to what I can bring to Kilmarnock and what they can do for myself also. To be honest, I always felt it was close. Like, one thing I do every day and going forward and the passes, I give everything. I honestly don't know if I could do much more. That's what I say, you're just looking for that bit of commitment, and I've got this from Kilmarnock. That's why I'm really excited for the future. But I feel as though I did everything I could in the games I've played, like played in the biggest games for Rangers. But I don't want to dwell on what's been. I think I'm looking forward to the future. Like, I've got a lot of big ambitions, and coming here is hopefully only the start. I was just desperate to get playing. To be honest, I don't think the games have got to come right now. Jack Butland had a very good season. He's been top. We had a good relationship. But I was always set in getting out, getting games. It was there's only so long you can wait. But you never know what can happen in the future. But I want to just be in the moment now and obviously try my best to get to the level I know I can get to.
We'll get your calls in on that or anything else. 01419511025 while I tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Can't believe when this happens. The latest Make Me a Winner call went to five rings without being answered. That means, though, it is a rollover, and we could make you a winner with £140,000 tomorrow when we make another call. But you need to make sure you're in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Alice won on Tuesday have rolled over. All the rules for this rail network competition are online. If you get the call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow, answer it. Make sure to answer it within five rings and say "Make me a winner" straight away to win £140,000, and that'll be paid into your bank account straight after the call. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But still time for you to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. We have been doing the pundit predictor with Col Robert at this time, but we are waiting patiently. I think Rosie, who was the caller last night, will be waiting impatiently because she's got one of the results right. She went for a Spain victory last night. If the Netherlands win in 90 minutes tonight, she's got herself £1,000 thanks to Col Robert. So it's an added incentive for her to watch the game and cheer on the Netherlands as well.
Absolutely. Come on, the Netherlands. That's what we're saying. You get Rosie the money and put England at
Yeah, we will see. We will see tomorrow whether she... Well, we'll see tonight. We will find out on the show tomorrow whether she has won that £1,000. Game last night was good. You watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. And the first half was really good. I get a wee bit frustrated with Spain because they're great to watch. And similar against Germany, first half, brilliant. But then they just seem to then stop going forward, stop doing the things they were really good at in the first half. They were really, you know, sharp, playing around about the box, creating chances, scored a couple of brilliant goals. And then the second half, it was almost as if, well, we'll just keep the ball. And I think they were quite lucky in the sense that France were really poor. Mbappe, again, one of the top players, like a lot of the top players in this tournament, have been underperformed. But definitely, Spain have been the best team in the tournament. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What about Lamine Yamal? I mean, yeah, it's just utterly, utterly ridiculous.
Well, it is. 16 years of age. I mean, it's so difficult to comprehend. I mean, I've seen some talented young players in my time. You know, and of course, you know, we can get back a few decades here. One of our former pundits on here was Derek Johnson, who scored as a 16-year-old in a cup final. So, you know, you can have that, you know, fantastic start to your career. But to play, you know, international football in a major competition and come up with something as spectacular as that, yeah, it's quite unique.
Because they have been the best team at the tournament so far, the most entertaining team to watch, and he's been one of their better players. It's just, it's crazy to think that at 16-year-old, he's capable of that. Turns 17 the day before the final as well. Looks as if he's going to have an incredible career. But just that strike from the moment it left its boot, I think he knew where it was going.
Yeah, exactly. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. Just drop the shoulder, go the other way, go on his favoured left foot, and then just curl it in the top corner. Yeah, it was you know, a piece of class and quality and a joy. And we need more of these moments. There's been a few of them. The other younger player, it was a Slovenian boy that played for Real Madrid. Fantastic. So one or two of the younger players have really stepped up to the mark. But the top players, Bellingham obviously scored a couple of phenomenal goals. I think he's only 21. But I think there's been a few of the top players have underperformed. But nevertheless, I think it is a 50-50 game tonight. I know Ronald Koeman said that, but I think it is 50-50, and I think it could go right to penalties tonight.
Still time to get your calls in. 01419511025. There is a starting lineup for Celtic for that game at the City Stadium against Queen's Park tonight. A bit more of a familiar-looking lineup, you'd say. But definitely a few interesting shouts in there. Scott Bain is in goal, the least surprising thing ever, because he's pretty much... Well, to be fair, Benjamin Sigrist is on the bench, who's been posted missing, really, a lot of the time, hasn't even been on the bench for a lot of Celtic's games last season. The back four, the way it's written down, looks as if it's probably going to be Tomoki Iwata at right back, Stephen Welsh, Dane Murray, who's just coming back from a long-term injury, has had a real tough time with injuries, the young centre-back. I think he got his first breakthrough... was it pre-season, possibly even European qualifiers under Ange Postecoglou in his first season, has had some, you know, really tough time with injury. He's starting, and it's going to be Yuki Kobayashi at left back. Boston Lawal is playing, looks as if he'll be playing in that sort of number six Callum McGregor role, who central defender, who was a central defender initially at Celtic, went down to Fleetwood. Rave reports about him playing as a defensive midfielder, could even sort of drive forward. So I think Celtic fans will be looking forward, because that's what you can see at this time of the season. Sometimes there are players that have been away on loan that you haven't been keeping an eye on, and all of a sudden Brendan Rodgers might see that he's a player that could well make an impact this season.
Yeah, I think fans always love to see players coming through. There's no doubt about that. And Celtic have done that, you know, over the years. Even last year, the likes of Stephen Welsh had a real good contribution. Anthony Ralston, terrific, come through the ranks. And it's always great to see if somebody like Lawal. That's the reason why I think some of the Celtic fans are a wee bit apprehensive about the Daniel Kelly situation, because Rocco Vata has already left. You know, a talented young player. You don't want to be losing your talent, you know, your 17, 18-year-olds. You mentioned earlier on the likes of Lennon Miller playing first-team football at Motherwell is a little bit easier, you know, to get, you know, introduced sometimes at a club like Motherwell. Fantastic. They can allow that and develop young players like that. And it is harder at Celtic, there's no doubt, but I think Kelly is a talent, and I think Celtic really... I know, again, we're going about, you know, structure and budgets and everything, but I think they've got to push out a little bit to try and keep, which I think is, you know, a real you know rough diamond. I think he could really be a top player. Just want to try and make sure he gets a little bit more game time. I understand that, but for the young lad himself, he doesn't want to get too frustrated. and Brendan Rodgers will nurture him, but I don't think there's a better place for him to play football than be at Celtic. So I would advise him to stay there, try and get into the first team, and he is good enough to try and force his way in there. And I think there's nothing better that fans like to see the young players coming through the ranks.
Just to complete that starting lineup: Matt O'Reilly, Odin Thiago Holm, Yang, Mikey Johnson getting his chance as well, and Kyogo up front. Interestingly, no Daniel Kelly on the bench either. We don't know whether that could be fitness injury related as well. Celtic fans, I'm sure, will be delighted to see Matt O'Reilly back in amongst the starting lineup as well. Plenty of question marks, of course, there will continue to be, I would imagine, over the next month and a half, probably more than that in this window, but he's taken to the pitch tonight.
Yeah, but I think the longer he's here, the more likelihood there is he's going to be there, you know, because again, we spoke about Celtic's transfer policy and trying to, you know, get things over the line. If other clubs would have seen Matt O'Reilly, you would imagine, you know, they obviously talk at Atletico Madrid and all these kind of things, but you would have imagined that they would have done their research, their homework, and if they felt that he was the player that they, you know, were going to invest in, that would have been done by now. So I think that would be, you know, would look quite positive if you're a Celtic fan that Matt O'Reilly is going to be there for the season ahead. Listen, it can change in a heartbeat, we know that, but at this moment in time, I don't think many Celtic fans would have thought he was going to be there in the pre-season game in July.
We're speaking about players, Boston Lawal returning from an impressive loan spell, Mikey Johnson, another, who got seven goals in 18 games for West Brom in the Championship. He's in the starting lineup. Interesting to see what happens with him, because Brendan Rodgers has had the time to look at him up close. Clearly thought in January that his future didn't seem to be lying at Celtic. Do you expect that would still be the case? Is there a chance that his performances from West Brom have maybe changed the mind of Brendan Rodgers?
I don't think it will. I mean, we heard Robbie McCrory saying, I think he was 26, I think he played about 7 or 8 games for Rangers first team over that whole period of time, and Mikey Johnson has had a number of games, but he's never managed to really sustain and hold down a regular first team place. He went to West Brom, certainly in the first few months, he scored some incredible goals, you know, down there when he first went down, and did very well. I think it's time for Mikey Johnson to move on, rather than be back and forward and going loan. He's been in loan a few times now. I think he's got to look at, you know, moving forward his career, and I think it's time he moved on from Celtic. Not because I don't think he's a good player, he is a good player, but Celtic have got a host of wingers, they're likely to sign more forward players. And, you know, I think Mikey Johnson's had two opportunities, because he's been there for both of Brendan Rodgers' times at the club. And if he's not established himself by now, I think it'll be too difficult for him to do that in the future.
Just before the break, we heard from Robbie McCrory talking about the fact he felt it was time to leave Rangers. Does Kilmarnock seem like a good move for him, would you say?
A terrific move. I mean, he's going to a club on the up. I mean, Derek McInnes, we know, done a phenomenal job since he's been into the club, a great season last year. You know, again, he's not going to be guaranteed number one, but he's going to be, you know, a real opportunity to grab that, you know, the number one jersey. You feel a wee bit sorry for McCrory. His last two goalkeepers were McGregor and Butland, two unbelievable goalkeepers to fight that. But as he said, he's done everything he possibly can. He still needs, you know, a good number of games under his belt just to, you know, feel that he's established. And I think that's something that I think he'll get eventually at Kilmarnock. Whether he gets it from the very start, it'll be up to him and whoever else that Derek decides to sign for the coming season.
Yeah, European football he's got to look forward to. Kilmarnock later on this month, I think it's maybe the 25th of July, their first Europa League qualifier against Cercle Bruges. So I'm sure he and the Kilmarnock fans, Dennett McInnes, looking forward to that. But the competitive action starts this weekend, and we will ramp up the build-up to those games tomorrow. I'll be back then as well. We'll also be reflecting on Celtic's friendly against Queen's Park that is happening at 7:45 tonight. We gave you the team news for that as well. Of course, Netherlands against England. We'll see whether Rose Duncan, who was the pundit predictor caller that we had on with Col Robert, we will see whether she gets the money or not. £1,000 on the line for her if the Netherlands win. But thank you very much to Jim Duffy in the studio. Thank you for listening in tonight. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets as well. As I say, I will be back tomorrow night with Mark Wilson, and it's Callum Gallagher that's up next.